Ran over an IED in Armadi, Iraq, and Eric went to heaven September 28, 2005. He's a graduate of our Christian school and an honor student in college, and then went to fight for our freedom, our way of life. And we're praying that it's not in vain as we pray for our country on this Memorial Day and think about those that gave that sacrifice. May we remember them today, and may this be a day of memorial and remembrance. And in that vein, I've got a scripture. I'd like to ask you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7, and I want to read one verse as our text. 1 Samuel 7, I want to read verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "There then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." When I go up to the Sabotniks to visit them, I see various stones that are set up as memorials. And also, there's a gravestone and memorial for the family and for Eric as well, right up there on Sabotnik's property. And memorial stones are common to remember and to think about things that have been done. And this is no exception. Actually, at this point in time, Samuel had set up a stone that was to be a memorial stone. And I want to preach on that today. The name of the sermon is Set Up Your Ebenezer Memorial. On this Memorial Day, I want to encourage you to set up your Ebenezer Memorial. And I want to read that verse again, if you'll follow. "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now, when you think of Ebenezer, I think of Scrooge or something like that. I don't think of a memorial stone necessarily, but it's interesting that the word Ebenezer means help, help. And so this was a stone that was set up to remember or to memorialize God's help. And that's what I want to talk about when I say you should set up your Ebenezer memorial, or you should set up a memorial concerning God's help in your life. God's help. And so the first thing I want to say is that you set up a memorial of God's help by taking time to look backward. That's what we just did with Eric. We do that at this time of year. And it's good that we do it, because we tend to forget. We tend to have the sacrifices made and the help given for us, we tend to forget that. And when you forget that, it leads to pride. That I basically am helping myself. And God is saying no, and you need to look backward and you need to see my help and how I have helped you. And that's exactly what happened here. Israel had been going through a bad time. There were two wicked ministers or priests called Hophni and Phinehas under a godly man, but a man that didn't take a strong enough stand. His name was Eli, the high priest. And their family was doing wickedness. As the congregation of God's people got together and they were supposed to worship God, they took the Lord's sacrifice, and instead of offering it first to God, they gobbled it down. And they were what you call fat cats. They were getting fat on the fat of the sacrifices brought by the people of God. And it was not a good time. Young women would come and they would commit fornication with the young women that came to worship God. God saw this and sent prophecy through Samuel that God was going to deal with the people. And the people, you say, why did this happen to the people? The people had turned to their own idols. You know, we're going through a hard time in America right now. But I believe it's a call to get back to God, to get back to the Bible. I believe that God is the answer to our problem. God is our help and our salvation, but He's a jealous God. And if you have anything or anyone that you put above God, don't expect to have, you know, foxhole religion where you call upon God. I thank God Eric did not have foxhole religion. Eric served God as a young person. He went to church. He read his Bible. He witnessed for Christ. He prayed. He honored God. He didn't have foxhole religion. He witnessed to the fellow soldiers. And at 21 years of age, he went to heaven. And I believe that Eric had help from God. But so often it's foxhole religion, and it's not the way it should be. And if that's the case in your life, God wants you to really seek God's help on this Memorial Day and to walk with God. And Eli's sons didn't do that, and they decided, well, I'll just use a magic rabbit's foot, like some people wear a cross around their neck. Oh, that'll give me a help. Some people, contrary to Leviticus 19 and the Word of God, tattoo their bodies because they're tattooing for the dead. Well, that's what the pagans do. I'll get help from God, you know, by doing that. I'll get help from God by some outward symbol. Let me tell you, God is not interested in outward symbols that are not really based in the Bible. God is interested that we walk with Him day by day and depend upon Him. And that's when He gives us His help. And these people, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it into battle. And the Philistines were afraid because they knew that God had helped Israel and that God dwelt in the Ark. He dwelt between the cherubim on the mercy seat of the Ark. And they were afraid when they saw that symbol. But they didn't really need to be afraid because these men were not walking with God. And when they got into battle, the Lord let them be defeated. He let the Ark of the Covenant be taken captive by the Philistines, and it was taken out of Israel. Eli died when he heard the news of it because he fell off his chair, and he was a fat man, and he broke his neck, and it was a sad day. One of his sons had a baby. The wife had the baby, and she named him Ichabod, which means the glory hath departed. And the ark was in the Philistine hands. It was a sad day. Can I say, in America, when our soldiers have given their blood and their lives, it's a sad day in America right now. We're under captivity. The people on January 6th that peacefully said, we want to redress the grievances and investigate the election and all the things that went into stealing the election, including the coronavirus that was a bioweapon launched from China and raised in America in North Carolina under Obama's administration originally. All of these things, my friend, have happened to America. Millions of people have died, including family members of those that are here today. Because they've been deceived to think this was a great thing. And now I'm studying where they put certain things in that jab so that when they trigger it, millions will die. They can trigger it. It's already set in the jab. And you say, why is that? Well, ultimately, it's because we as a nation have turned from God. We've turned from the Bible, which is the Word of God. We've turned from the old-time religion of our fathers. And we've turned to the new things of today and God is not in them, and so he has let us be taken captive to the homosexual agenda.
Right.
He's let us be taken captive to people coming across our border that want to blow up things and destroy things, and there's no control or no protection for the borders and boundaries of the United States of America. We've been taken captive by globalists who hate America, hate God, hate Jesus Christ, hate believers. And the very people that they hate, Christians, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, that they put on their watch list and call terrorists and call them white supremacists, which is baloney. Are the reason why God is keeping this nation alive.
Amen.
God looks to the born-again, Bible-believing, Bible-witnessing believers to keep this nation preserved. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah did not have. They did not have a righteous remnant of believers to keep Sodom alive, or God would have spared Sodom. I believe the reason God has spared America this long, and the reason why we can pray and ask God to deliver us from captivity and restore the duly elected president and get the puppet government out of here is because of a remnant of God's people. God always looks to the righteous remnant, and we need more of the salt of that remnant and the light of that remnant to shine. And I'm just saying we need to take time to look backward at what has happened, not only for the brave soldiers that gave their life, but we need to take time on this Memorial Day to look backward that their life was not in vain, that we can see what's going on in the country that they died for, and we can see what went on. And what is going on? Just in a few weeks, guess what's coming up? Gay Pride Month. And that's when homosexuals, which are an abomination to God. I said homosexuals, which are an abomination to God. March into our major cities and they strip down naked in front of children. And do acts that are meant only between a husband and a wife in a holy covenant of marriage. And do this in front of the kids of our country. They've already done it in the public schools and are doing it. You say, what is it all about? They're grooming them for sinful acts. Because they're so perverted and wicked and vile. And they want to say that this lifestyle is simply another lifestyle. And you say, what lifestyle? Kids and adults. We're in captivity to abominable things. We need to be set free.
Yes.
And we can look back and see that these things are going on, and then we see these companies that have promoted them. One is Target. I wouldn't go to a Target. They have all over gay pride in Targets. Some of them take them away because they're under pressure to so they won't lose all their money, like Anheuser-Busch. But don't make any mistake about it. Anheuser-Busch is still doing their thing behind the scenes. So don't drink Bud Light. Drink some other beer. No, I'm just kidding. Stay away from it. But I'm saying that as we raise this memorial, and you should set up your Ebenezer Memorial today, look back at what's been going on, and look to God for two things. Number one, for revival.
Amen.
You say revival of what? Revival of the old time religion. The word religion is in the Bible. There's false religion, man's religion, and God's religion. God's religion gives you a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then you live your life according to this old book right here.
Amen.
Say, what book? The King James Bible, the authorized King James Bible, which a lot of churches have left, but you need to get back there if you want the old-time religion. We need the old-time religion in America. And it's what made America great. And it needs to be revived. And until the American people get it, you're in danger. As a nation, and as someone has said, God would have to apologize for nuking Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't destroy America. But remember Nineveh, they cried out and they repented and they turned back. And God gave them time. That's what we need. God to push back the timeline of his judgments. For the great sins of all the abortions that have been committed and are even being committed. And thank God for Donald Trump that he did keep his promise and appointed federal judges, and they overturned Roe v. Wade at the federal level. And that's why that crowd hates him, and the homosexual crowd hates Christians and born-again Christians. Because we preach against fornication, that lifestyle. And heterosexual fornication, by the way. God's word has not changed. And we need to look back, as Brother Joe has preached from the Bible. God requires the past. And we need to take time to look backward and to think about these things. And I think about how God delivered before this nation in September 1st, 1939, a wicked, devil-possessed man who I believe very well may be the future beast of the book of Revelation that would come back, a man by the name of Adolf Hitler, in 1939, September the 1st, he launched World War II. He began to take over nations. He killed 6 million of the Jewish people. He was ready, along with Hirohito of Japan and Mussolini of Italy, to take over the whole world. But on September 2, 1945, after killing 6 million Jews, World War II ended. God delivered.
Amen.
He delivered the Jewish people. And in May 14 of 1948, God had it so the nation of Israel was declared a nation amongst all the other nations of the world. And God saved Israel. God did it before. He can do it again. We need to look back and see what he did. He gave help to those that cried unto him. Are you crying unto God to help us? To help the nation, to give us revival, to restore our government back to the Constitution, and to do a great work. God did that. And when the people came to Samuel, the Bible says that Samuel talked to them and he did something for them. I want you to notice verse 9. It says, "And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him." I'm so thankful I can look back to a time, June the 16th, 1967, Muskegon, Michigan, when I believed in the Lamb of God that took away my sin.
Amen.
I'm thankful that my grandmother told me the truth when I was reading the Bible and knew I was condemned to hell and going to hell and I was under Satan's power. And she showed me how the Lamb of God offered his blood on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And if we would but put our faith in him, he'll save us from our sin. He'll do it for you today. I can look back and know that I've been set free by Jesus, and I can raise that up. And after I got saved by Jesus, I got baptized, and that was a memorial to say that day when I put my faith in Jesus, I died with him spiritually. I was buried with him spiritually, and I was raised with Jesus to a new life. And now Jesus is the new Lord of my life. Jesus is the Savior of my life. It happened many years ago, but its effects are still being felt today. I wonder this morning, can you look back to a day and a time when you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And when you were born again, that's what's needed. On this Memorial Day, we remember those that died for our freedom and our way of life. I can't think of anybody more appropriate than the captain of our salvation, who died and shed his blood, his innocent blood, for our freedom from the devil, our freedom from hell, our freedom from sin. And he gave his blood and died, but he also rose again. And he lives. Would you remember that today as we remember our heroes and pray for our nation that the death of Christ would not be in vain? I'm saying set up your memorial, Ebenezer, today by taking time to look backward. I'm saying, secondly, by taking time to look upward. Look again at verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Well, if he's saying "hitherto hath the Lord helped us," that means the Lord will help us now. If he helped us then, he did it then, he'll do it again. And so that tells us to look upward. When? Today. Look upward today. Perhaps you're here and you are not sure you're going to heaven, and you're not sure you're saved, and you're here and you know you've sinned against God, and you should, and you have, and you know that your sin will bring you death one day, and it will bring you the second death, hell, and you don't have that certain guarantee that you're going to heaven. Just look to Jesus. Amen. Look upward. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's got the victory over death. He gives you eternal life through simple faith. Just reach up the empty hands of faith and receive the gift of God. That's what faith is. Empty hands that receive his offer. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Not maybe, not could be. Will be, shall be, shall be saved. And so we need to look upward to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, today. The word Ebenezer means help, and the times he has helped us in the past are there for you to help you trust him. Listen, to help you right now. What are you facing today, right? Whatever you're facing today, he's there for you. He called himself I Am. That means I am here for you right now. He's not just the God of the past. He's the God of the present. You know, you had Ebenezer, Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas. He's the God of the past, but he's also God of the present. I'm so glad I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near.
Amen.
He's never failed me. He's never forsaken me. And he will not forsake you either. I think of Moses and the children of Israel. They were at the Red Sea and they were complaining and they were telling Moses, "Why did you lead us out there to make us die here now by the Egyptian army? They've come for us. Look at this. We're done. Why did you lead us out?" It wasn't Moses that led them. It was God that led them. And you know what? If you're saved, it's God that's leading you. So don't complain to people if you're in a difficult place. Look to God for help. Trust the Lord for his help. And that's exactly what Moses recognized. You see, Moses had seen God come through. He was trusting God, and therefore he wasn't complaining and griping and groaning like so many of us do when we're not trusting God. He wasn't doing that. He was saying to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes that's all you can do. Somebody has said, all you can do is all you can do. And that's all you can do. And then God has to come through. Amen. But when they stood still, God came through. And Moses raised his rod and God split that Red Sea. And the Israelites went across and the Egyptians followed them. But when Israel got across, Moses put that rod and the sea closed. And the Egyptians were drowned. I believe God can still stop the captivity of America. I believe he can still restore the duly elected president. You say, how could he do that? Because everything they've thrown against the president, they have thrown against him, and it has not stopped him yet. I'm just saying to you, if God be for us, who can be against us? And you need to take time to look upward to God as the one that can give you the victory. And I was sharing with the men yesterday in class, the men that prayed, I was sharing with them from our scripture reading in 2 Samuel chapter 21. How many of you are reading the scripture with us through 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel 21, David became king and there was no food. People were starving to death. And it went on month after month, year after year. It was now 3 years. And David did something that you and I ought to do. He inquired of the Lord. He said, why is there this famine? Why are people dying of hunger? Under my kingdom, you bless my kingdom. And God said, it's not you, David, but you're the king. It's your predecessor, Saul. He killed the Gibeonites. Joshua had made a covenant with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were Canaanites. They were to be killed because of their sin, but they went to Israel's leaders and asked for help, and they disguised themselves like they were from a far country, so the leaders didn't kill them. They made a covenant with them. And God said, okay, you made the covenant. Now you have to honor it. But make them servants. Make them serve you. And the Gibeonites did that. They kept their part of that covenant. But Saul, he killed them. He wanted to be more righteous and more right-wing, and he killed them. He wanted to look good, but he didn't get that from God. He broke a covenant, and he killed them. And so God caused a famine to come on the land. And God said to David, you need to make that right. So he went to the Gibeonites. He said, what do we do? He said, take Saul's sons that no doubt were with him, because the Bible says don't kill the sons for the father's sin or the fathers for the son's sin. So no doubt they were with Saul in this because they were all part of the family. And he said, take seven of those sons and hang them as a death penalty. And he took five of the sons of Saul's oldest daughter, who David was supposed to marry, but he gave her to Adriel, and he didn't get to marry her. And then Merab, that oldest daughter of Saul, died. So David's wife, Michal, raised those five children. You say, well, why was David's wife marrying Adriel now when she's David's wife? Because Saul kicked David out of the land and chased him and gave his wife, Michal, to his oldest daughter's wife. So he didn't let his oldest daughter marry David, and then he did that. And those five sons were raised by Michal. And then Michal, even later on, when she came back to David, turned against him and turned in favor of her father, which wasn't a good thing. They had a happy family. They had a good family thing going on, but they were breaking God's word. And so it came down on them. And David took five of those sons raised by Michal for her sister and hung them. And then two sons of Rizpah, Saul's concubine, a secondary wife, and hung them, seven of them. And then God gave the blessing back on the land. You know what? He told the Israelites under Samuel, you've got idols in your life. Get rid of them. By the way, if you've got statues of Mary or all that kind of stuff, you need to turn from those idols. They're not going to save you. Turn to Jesus. And we don't have statues of Jesus. He's not on the cross. We don't make graven images. We worship the Lord. You say, what are all these statues of Mary? They're devils behind them. And they influence this area. We need to turn from idols to the living Jesus Christ and put our faith in Jesus Christ, my friends. This is what God said. And what is an idol in your life? It could be a Hollywood idol. It could be a teen idol. It could be an idol of drugs. Who would have ever thought preachers used to preach against smoking and drinking? Now they're preaching against marijuana. I remember reading Jack Hiles years ago in the 1970s. He said, you mark my words, marijuana will become legal. And now I smell it everywhere, and it stinks to high heaven. Drugs, legal drugs, idols. I don't need those kind of drugs. I've got Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I look up to Him. You need to look up to Him, and our country needs to look up to Him and turn back to Him and turn away from idols. I'm saying set up your Ebenezer Memorial by taking time to look backward, by taking time to look upward, and finally, by taking time to look forward. If He's helped you in the past, He'll do it in the future as well as in the past. He will not change. The Bible said that God is the same God. He says that He's the Lord. I change not. He says in Hebrews, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you, the Lord's helped you before, but now for some reason you're afraid of tomorrow. You're afraid maybe of this afternoon. I don't know. You're afraid. And you know why you're afraid? Because the Bible said, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. You're not trusting the Lord. You trust Him and take it one day at a time and one step at a time. And if He helped you in the past, He'll help you today, but He will help you going forward. I am not afraid to go forward because I'm trusting the Lord. But sometimes I am afraid. And you know why I'm afraid to go forward? Because God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not trusting Him and I'm not stepping out in faith. Listen, if you're trusting Him, you can go forward. And here's what it says. It says in Philippians chapter 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what? This church was faithful to give their tithes to the Lord. 10% of all their increase give to the Lord, like the Bible says. They did it. They were not afraid to give their offerings over and above the tithe. Whatever they felt in love that they should give to the Lord and to missions, they gave it. And they gave it to the Apostle Paul so that he could keep on his missionary work. You say, well, I used to give tithes and offerings, but I'm afraid right now because of the economy. I'm afraid. You ought to be afraid not to give tithes and offerings. Because who is your helper? The economy? Joe Biden? Oh, no. Your helper is God Almighty. That's why the Bible said, I won't be afraid what man will do to me. I'm not afraid because I'm trusting God. And when I'm given my tithes and offerings, and I continue to do that because I'm confident of this very thing, that the God that began that work in me to give tithes and offerings, because I'm saved, that he'll continue to do it. And how long? Right up till Jesus comes back or till I meet the Lord. He's not going to leave you or forsake you, my friend. He doesn't start something and then not finish it. Sometimes we start things and we don't finish it. How many of you have started something and not finished it? Yeah. And the rest of you, how many of you have ever told a lie? Yeah. We do that. Amen? And so God never start something. If God saved you and gave you eternal life, he's going to keep you saved. Right up till the day you're with Jesus. And he's going to keep helping you, right? He's going to keep helping you. He says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and that means he's going to help us today and keep on helping us even until he comes back again. And I think about our church. We've had times when we got rid of the NIV Modern Bibles and we got back to the King James Bible.
Praise God.
We got rid of sin that we had in our midst, like drinking and smoking and doing our own thing, and we turned back to God. And guess what? We got back to winning souls to Christ and witnessing, and we saw God give us three different buses. We filled this area with the Word of God, and people were getting saved and baptized. Then it died off for a while as Satan hit us and attacked us. And then we got right with God and kept going, and God did it again. And we went back to three buses again, and we had 276 people baptized in 1 year, and great things happened. You say, Pastor, but we had the coronavirus and all that. Now you're living in really difficult days. Listen, I look back this morning when we had coronavirus, and by the grace of God, and I give him all credit, we never shut the door one time.
Yeah.
Never once.
Praise God.
God kept us going. And we intend by the grace of God to keep on going and to have three buses again. We've got two right now. And we want to have three. And then guess what? Four, five, six. We want to fill this church with people that have been saved and that believe the old-time religion and that believe the book. Would you be part of that? We want to go forward. Because Tom's sitting in the back there, and Tom says it, and he's right. This is where God's doing something here.
Hey.
He's done it in the past. He's doing it now. He'll do it in the future. Because
hey.
He doesn't change. And he hears and answers prayer. It says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You say, what would keep me from a church that's doing something for God? Fear. Maybe you're afraid of the repercussions. You're afraid of taking those stands. You need to fear God. And trust him. And if you're not saved, don't be fearful of coming to Jesus by faith and putting your trust in him. He'll never fail you. He'll save you. And you won't have to go to hell. You say, but what if I'm a heterosexual fornicator? Then he'll cleanse you from that sin and get you out. What if I'm a drug abuser? He'll get you out of those drugs if you really know Jesus. What if I'm a homosexual? He'll clean you up. And he'll make you be pure for God.
Amen. Praise God.
And not dishonor your own body. As the Bible says in Romans 1, when a man dresses like a woman or a woman like a man, that dishonors your body.
That's right.
I preached that for years, and I really apply it right down.
Keep preaching.
Right down. But I'm just saying today, look backward, look upward, and look forward and you'll see Jesus Christ. He came, he died, he rose again. Right now, he's at the right hand of the Father to help you. And he's coming again. And it's going to be great if you know him. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We're talking about setting up your Ebenezer.